NFTs are starting to get really hot in the industry because people are like, look, you don't own this, and this is mine, and I'm the rightful owner, and I can show you proof that I purchased this. And, you know, a lot of times it's going to be through the world of cryptocurrency.
Welcome back to The Analysis. I'm your host, Annalisa Gale, a journalist here in the nation's capital. This month on the podcast, I'm sitting down with Xavier Epps, a financial advisor with more than 15 years experience from Wall Street to local government. He's breaking down the basics behind NFTs, also known as non-fungible tokens. And he's also following up on our conversation that we had about cryptocurrency on episode 11. Let's get right to it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining the show, Xavier Epps. We really appreciate it. This is so exciting for so many people who are trying to understand what's going on with, you know, new ways of making money. So let's get right into it. NFTs sound so, right now, just people don't understand what's going on. It sounds like a new wave that a lot of people can't grasp. So for someone who may just be clicking around trying to understand different methods that are out here right now for making money, especially it seems like it's becoming bigger in the music industry, what should they know?
Yeah, and thanks again for having me, Annalisa. I'm very, very happy to be here. So yeah, real quick, NFTs are non-fungible tokens. And more specifically, what they are, they're digital assets that you can use on real world objects. So it's really big in the music industry, like you mentioned. It's also big in the art, video gaming, sport highlight reels when something happens to a sport athlete in the industry. It's big on the memes and GIFs, anything that's digital, published articles and columns, these NFTs come into play. And basically it gives someone that the ownership rights over that particular item digitally. And a lot of people that are engaged with NFTs are using cryptocurrency to buy them. So that's kind of in a nutshell what the non-fungible token means. You know, it's just like a physical collector's item, but it's just digital. And it's really limited to things that you see electronically online, not anything that you could fungibly, you know, actually touch.
So what should people know? Should they be nervous about getting right into it and investing?
No, you shouldn't be nervous about it. Only certain people are going to be very familiar with NFTs. When you think about, let's just say the world of cryptocurrency. When you think about cryptocurrency and NFTs, a cryptocurrency is something that stores value, you know, and allows you to buy and sell goods on an exchange. And same thing with like physical money. Physical money and cryptocurrency, similar. They're fungible, meaning that they can be traded or exchanged for one another. You can exchange a dollar for a dollar, and just like you can exchange a Bitcoin for another Bitcoin, right? When you talk about the NFT, the non-fungible token, this is like a digital signature, and it's impossible for NFT to be exchanged or equal as value, hence the non-fungible aspect of an NFT. So when you're engaging in using or buying an NFT, you have to know what you're buying and what you're using that for. A lot of people that are going to buy NFTs are going to be people that want to republish said art. Or say, hey, I'm the rightful owner of a piece of a digital asset, and if anyone else uses it, they need to pay me in order to use that as a bargaining chip in terms of the world of social media, because we know how quick we are to take a meme or take a GIF or take something and share it as if we own it, and mm-hmm. we really don't. And that's where these NFTs are starting to get really hot in the industry, because people are like, look, you don't own this, and this is mine, and I'm the rightful owner, and I can show you proof that I purchased this, And, you know, a lot of times it's going to be through the world of cryptocurrency that people are purchasing this. So you're going to see a lot of celebrities and, you know, people that are big in the cryptocurrency world buying NFTs, not the average Joe like yourself and myself going to just sit in there and say, hey, you know, I like what Elon Musk just posted on Twitter. So I want to buy it from him if he's selling it. We don't have that type of the cash flow. So we won't be engaged in that type of buying and purchasing as it relates to cryptocurrencies.
So we're talking people with big money, or are you, Julie, going to be the ones with the NFTs?
Yes. And, you know, the NFTs is you know, it exists on a blockchain, and just like everything else is decentralized, or it's going to be distributed based on whoever's participating in it, in the crypto world. So if you had, let's say we're talking about the Ethereum network, when you're on that network, depending on the capacity and how many people are actually buying that coin, that cryptocurrency at that moment determines the value of it. So the NFTs are very similar. It's based on the demand. Like, how much demand does this have? Like, it's really based on who thinks the value is why at that particular time. And that determines the value. And as we know, with cryptocurrency, it can go up 30, 40,000 in terms of Bitcoin and fall down, 5,000 points in one day. So it's very fluid in terms of the marketplace and the valuation of them.
So it kind of sounds very similar to trademarking. But a little different in some aspects. I mean, you own the rights, but at the same time, you're able to sell it.
That's a very good distinguished point that you made there. When it comes to trademarking or patent, some type of item or idea, you own it. If we take it a step further, it's equivalent to that just in a digital world. It's you having, ownership rights over a particular asset, being a painting or lyrics or songs. I think for a lot of artists, what you're going to find in the art community is that, the galleries are closed a lot of times due to COVID restrictions or depending on what's going on with the pandemic at any given time. Their way of living is to be in a gallery as an artist. And if they're unable to be in that gallery, this is going to become another alternative for them to sell their art. So, they're not actually having to physically sell the art. They can digitize it and then sell it as an NFT in the cryptocurrency world, which could be more valuable than the world that they are normally used to with art galleries. So this can, be something that's really big on how the artists can eventually get into the industry as well.
So I hate to bring up his name, but Tory Lanez recently bragged about selling some of his limited edition digital music and trying to get people to buy the NFTs. He said he did it within minutes, was able to make a lot of money. How were those regular Joes that were able to buy into this, or was this, do you know what kind of people actually invested?
I'm sure whoever was able to buy Tory Lanez's royalties or the art or the digital music that he was selling or distributing had some form of level of capital in the crypto space. You got to remember, these NFTs can only be purchased with cryptocurrency. So you can't purchase it with cash. So I'm sure whoever purchased what they purchased from them, they used cryptocurrency to do it. And with an artist like Tory Lanez, they can sit there and embedded in an actual non-fungible token can be the royalties. And so they'll receive a percentage of those sales whenever the art is sold to a new owner. So this is that's that attractive feature that all artists are going to start looking at and say, oh, wow, I can make money off of making a piece of music, and I don't have to go the traditional route you know, being in a studio and putting in that time and going through the producers and going through management and this person getting that cut, this person getting that cut. I can basically go on Instagram or go on TikTok or go live on any of these streams, start singing and sell it mm-hmm. and make royalties off of it. So whatever Tory Lanez felt the value of that piece of music or that media that he created socially, electronically was worth is what someone paid. I think it would be very interesting if we get into a economy that artists and musicians are showing what the value of it is. Because as soon as you show what the value it is, your manager is going to be in the background like, oh, if you think it's worth that, then we got some contract renegotiations to talk about. So I think a lot of this stuff is going to be on a hush-hush mm-hmm. In terms of the valuation of it in certain industries. But yeah, no, I could definitely see someone being in the crypto currency world saying, hey, I bought a piece of music exclusively from Tory Lanez. And I'm the owner of it now, so I get royalties off of that piece of music that every time it's played anywhere. And if it blows up, then they blow up, the owner. So it's a lot that could be at stake here in terms of investing.
Do you think it's a wise investment from your financial advisor standpoint?
So from my standpoint, it's not necessarily if it's a wise investment. It's more if it's what's the frequency of it, meaning how whatever the frequency. Let's say, you know, in the stock market, you know, my days in Wall Street, I would talk about you either got a rich stock or a poor stock, and it doesn't mean that a poor stock is bad. It is, a poor stock means it's affordable to the masses, whereas a rich stock, i.e., let's just say Tesla stock, that's a rich stock and it's not affordable to a lot of the masses. So you had this investing community ready to invest, but you're going to have more people go after the poor stock than you have going after the rich stock. This is the same thing with the NFTs. When people are buying the ownership of this digital piece of an asset, is it rich? Is it a rich investment or is it a poor investment or is it a moderate or economic investment for people that across the masses can leverage? So it's all dependent on whoever's selling it and what they think the value of it is. If Tory Lanez put something out there and say, look, it's worth $30,000. And someone like, yeah, a minute of your song is not worth $30,000, but I'll give you 15. And he sold it for 15. Well, it's worth 15,000 now. No matter what the real value may be, the value is only determined by what people are willing to pay. So, you know, a lot of us may look at that and say, look, I'm not going to pay Tory Lanez $15,000 for a minute song. He won't need to give me a whole album at least. But the beauty of it is you own it outright. You are the owner of that piece of music. So if you hear people playing it, if it hits the radio one day, if it hits the billboard, guess what? You're making money because you own a piece. You have ownership around that asset now.
Got it. And I actually looked up some of the steps that people are taking to buy these NFTs. There's a lot to it. I mean, you have to get a Coinbase account, like you said, the cryptocurrency. And then some people are going to e/NFT.com. Like I haven't tried any of this, so I'm not sponsoring this. This is not sponsored at all.
Yeah, we're not sponsoring at all.
Yeah, this is all just steps that are listed on Laptop Mag, which is a tech blog. There are lots of steps that you actually have to know what you're doing.
If people trade cryptocurrency, they know exactly how they can get their hands on a NFT. But if you haven't traded cryptocurrency before, you don't know what a Bitcoin is, you have no clue, then yeah, there's going to be quite a few steps that you need to go to. And one of the steps is having a base. You have to have a baseline in order to trade and exchange where you can trade for cryptocurrency, and Coinbase being one of the most public sized IPOs in the last couple months has that type of platform for people to sign on. And just like with a brokerage account, set up your bank account to say, hey, I want the money to pull here so that I can buy XYZ cryptocurrency. And now furthermore, I can possibly take that cryptocurrency and buy NFT
Are you finding that a lot more clients are going in this direction? I mean, this seems to be a growing trend for sure.
What, the cryptocurrency or
NFTs? Yes, crypto. Crypto.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. And it was, it really blew up during the tax season. And you got to understand that a lot of people have all this money been thrown at them from the Internal Revenue Service, has no clue what to really do with it. And they're like, look, I'm going to invest it, and I'm a millennial, and I'm a Generation X and whatever. But I'm going to take this money and go ahead and buy some cryptocurrency. And that's when you start to see the cryptocurrency market start to have more and more of a drive over the last 2 years during one of the worst pandemics we've ever saw. And that's all because of all of this money sitting on the sideline and people that are young not really wanting to get into the old game of stocks, but rather do cryptocurrency because they can do so much more with that. People like to be able to buy something and invest it and it have value, and also take that and buy something tangible. That's the uniqueness of cryptocurrency, is the ability to buy a Bitcoin and it goes up in value, and then you can turn around and take that Bitcoin and buy a car. You can't do that with stocks. Once you invest it, it's done. In order for you to get the money out or to use that stock, you can't take a piece of Tesla stock and go buy a Tesla. You have to cash out that Tesla stock in order for you to use the money. So the cryptocurrency offers that additional flexibility with an investment that a lot of youth and experienced traders like. So I saw an abundance of clients using cryptocurrency in the last year or so. I mean, I have clients that are doing multi-million dollar transactions with cryptocurrency because it's just blown up. And it's not that they invested, you know, $15,000-$25,000. They literally invested a couple thousand dollars over the last 5 or 6 years, and it's blown up to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's been a very interesting market to see, but I always have to put my financial advisor hat on and be very conservative and say, look, out of your portfolio of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, your IRAs, your retirement, out of all your portfolios, your different buckets, your 13 different asset classes, you can let cryptocurrency be one of them. You know, I'm around 10% of your portfolio. I think anything more than 10% of cryptocurrency, it may present itself to be risky. I don't recommend cryptocurrency to those that are nearing retirement because it's a variable type of asset. You don't want to be 59 and a half retiring and, you know, you got 25% or whatever percent in cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency market blows up and now you're out. And there's nothing governing the cryptocurrency market. It's not like an FDIC bank or the stock market with the Security Exchange Commission. Nothing's governing those investments. So you have to be safe.
Wow, great tips. I was going to ask you what you're telling them, and you answered it perfectly. Great advice there. So overall, the digital landscape seems to be where people are going, especially people with big money. I recently saw something at a gas station, which was very strange. It was said, buy Bitcoin here. I mean, it was at a gas station in DC. I mean, is that happening also? Are people now starting to try to get people to buy crypto in their stores?
So what could have been, and I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to speak too much on it, but what it could have been is someone was there assisting people and getting an account. From one of the various ways, you know, the Robinhood now does it. PayPal is entering into it. Cash App and Coinbase. You know, it could be very well that they will help you set up an account so that you can buy Bitcoin. Or it could have been some undermarket type of thing. You know, give me your money and I'll buy the Bitcoin for you. You never know at a gas station, but I would advise people do not go to the gas station attendants or go to the gas station to do any investing in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I thought it was very strange. I almost took a picture of it. I remember the gas station.
You should have.
I'm going back.
I was
very. So what other scams are out there that people should look out for in this digital landscape with all types of people being able to hack your computers easily? What should they know?
some of the biggest scams that I've noticed, and these have been there forever, is overpromising. One of the biggest things, being a licensed financial professional, during my Wall Street days, even when I sat in front of Internal Revenue Service and got licensed in state board as a tax practitioner, one of the things that they stress to you in terms of scams are promises. You have, let's just say, with taxes, you have people that make promises for taxes. Those are the people you need to stay away from. Just like investors, people that sell annuities or people that sell life insurance products that make investment promises, those are the type of people you need to stay away from. So it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have people that declare themselves cryptocurrency experts, and they're going to make promises about what the value of the cryptocurrency is going to do, and you're going to sit there and fall for it. And the biggest thing is there's no protection with this cryptocurrency. It was one, even, you know, a year or so ago when the whole gifting circles were coming out and people were like, oh, I'm about to get in the water. I'm about to put my money in so I can get my $5,000 out. One of the biggest things that I could tell you that is a pyramid scam is by asking whoever's bringing you in, where's the legal documents or where's the safety net for something, for a refund? Like, who do I go? Tell me the person or the company I go to get my money back. And when they say, well, you got to trust me, that's where that's not an investment. That's not an agreement. That's a scam. So the same thing that you will look out for those different avenues you would do with NFTs and cryptocurrency. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true.
Yeah, very true. It sounds like you also got to try to do it yourself, because, I mean, it sounds like having too many middlemen presents a problem.
Yeah, no, most definitely. You know, cryptocurrency is so, like any investment, it's very personal, but it's even more personal because of the layers of security that these systems like Coinbase tries to build into it, from, you know, checking your identity to passports to social. It asks for so much information. If you get got by someone, then it must have been a very sophisticated individual to get got by, because there are all these parameters set up as it relates to trying to protect one's account and security and money, that you just got to be, you know, the top notch of whatever scheme in order to get people to buy in and believe whatever you're pushing as it relates to the value of a currency or value of a digital asset as it relates to NFTs.
Last question about the code situation when it comes to crypto. A lot of people are confused by that. You know, you have to have certain codes to access certain crypto. How does that work?
So with the cryptocurrency, if you use a reputable site or platform, and I always go back to Coinbase because they're really good at this, you can literally look up every single code as it relates to trading. Every single cryptocurrency and that three-letter acronym, you can look it up and easily know what you're buying, what you're trading, what you're exchanging for. And again, it comes back to doing your own research. You got to do a little bit of due diligence. You can't just assume because your friend bought a certain cryptocurrency that they know automatically what the code is or the acronym is. They need to go and do their own due diligence to verify, hey, this is the right code I need to purchase in order to purchase this asset, this digital asset. These platforms like Coinbase are really good at distributing those codes out to you when you need to update or upload information into your wallet. The way cryptocurrency works is that you, just because you have an account with a place like Coinbase, it doesn't mean you can right away start trading. You have to get the money in. And when you get the money in, you then convert that into something called an e-wallet. And that e-wallet then allows you to make all types of purchases in the crypto market, as well as being able to leverage what's in the wallet, such as the Ethereum or the Bitcoin currency, to buy NFTs.
All right. Well, Xavier, we touched on a whole lot. Thank you so much. Really happy to have you on the show. And this will be, I'm sure, a blessing to a lot of people. To try to understand this landscape. Definitely have to have you back on the show, because we like talking money. So I really appreciate this.
I'm Finance Guy X on Instagram, on Twitter. And like I said earlier, I released my first book on Amazon. It was number one as a release, personal budgeting, money management. Budget it yourself. Budget it yourself. DIY. So definitely check it out.
Yes. Thank you very much. We really appreciate this.
And that brings us to the end of the analysis. Be sure to subscribe to keep up with all the latest episodes. And if you really like the show, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts and share with friends. See you next time. Take care.